Bluebird, a scheme to save the planet, or an exercise in megalomania. Don't be alert, just be alarmed. You're on ABC Radio National, and this is The Science Show. Chameleons, salamanders, David Attenborough, bluebird, Bjorn Lomborg, and a shield in the sky that could change climate, or just turn the sun into a pale white light. Hello, I'm Robin Williams, and that's all coming up. This week, a car bomb was found in Sydney. 2 weeks ago, it was a bomb in Times Square in New York. Now at the University of Tasmania, there's a handy portable lab being tried out that could give police or bomb squad people more idea of what they're dealing with. Let's meet Dr. Emily Hilder. Introduce me to this wonderful shiny box. What is it?
So what we've got here, it's a portable instrument that we can use for taking out into the field. So it's about 6 kilos, so pretty easy to carry around, and take it out to look at explosives.
And it's got a kind of curved wire. It's got a number of little slots where you can put vials in as well.
It's very, very simple. So this wire you're talking about is actually a very, very fine glass capillary. The reason it's curved like that is it's actually covered in a polymer, which makes it flexible. So flexible that you could almost tie a knot in it, which makes it much easier to handle. But it's very, very fine, and the hole through the middle of that capillary is about the size of a human hair. So very, very small, which means that we can use very, very small amounts of sample. And essentially, if we have something that has a charge, we apply an electric field across this capillary, and we separate these things just on the basis of their charge.
And you can tell, more or less, what it's made of on the spot?
Absolutely. So depending on its size and how much charge it has, it will move at a different speed. And so we can identify these things based on the speed with which they move through that capillary. So, for example, if you have a mixture of just simple chemicals that can be used to form an explosive, and unfortunately these things are easy to find. I'm sure most people could tell you where to find this information on Wikipedia. It's really simple chemistry, and yeah, you can detect these simple chemicals.
I don't want to be naive, but I would have thought that these days there'd be plenty of sort of instruments you could take out that would be able to spot an explosive or not.
I think portability is really the issue. So the market has been driven by instruments that can be used in a lab. And instruments in the lab, it's always easier to build something that's a bit bigger. We're used to dealing with big things that we can put together. So the size is really the issue, and making things smaller is something which has really only been looked at seriously in the last 20 years.
It's very neat, and as you say, portable. Has it been out in the field and done its job and found explosives yet?
We have used it in field tests. So we've taken this out in the field with the assistance of the Australian Bomb Database and looked at simulated explosions. So essentially, you can take this out in a mobile lab or right out in the field and use it on site.
And how does it actually work? Do you actually pick up a snuff of this, whatever it happens to be, and just sprinkle it around, or what?
No, essentially we take something, so a piece of metal or a piece of wood, and then swab this for any traces of what might be left behind or some products of the reaction, and then place it in one of these vials in water, and then the instrument will then do the analysis.
Interesting. Now this, as you said, separation science, what you're doing is looking at chemicals and taking them apart to see what they're made of and to identify almost any kind of chemical you could wish to find.
That's right. So we're looking for, it's almost like the needle in the haystack in many of the most interesting cases, because what we're looking for is taking a really complex mixture, something like, in this case we have the explosive, something else may be looking for a drug in a human blood sample, and trying to identify what that is, and often trying to identify how much of it is there as well.
What's this got to do with the Tasmanian devil?
Well, that's another interesting problem, because one of the things that we really need to be able to do in terms of managing the devil facial tumour disease, which is still decimating the devil populations in Tasmania, is to be able to identify the disease as early as possible. So at the moment, the disease is identified when a tumour is found. And as you may have heard recently, there were some fantastic results published in Science showing that it's now much easier to positively identify that tumour as being DFTD, and that's a really great breakthrough. But what we'd like to be able to do is identify an animal that is carrying the disease before they present with a tumour. To do that, we're looking at ways we can take just a blood sample from a Tasmanian devil and then use that to identify that animal is going to develop a tumour. That way, we can take them and remove them, or make some management strategy so that we can decide, okay, this animal is diseased, so we shouldn't let it have contact with healthy animals or vice versa.
Of course, the other day they discovered that they may have identified a population in the north of Tasmania which could have some immunity. Were you involved in that detective work at all?
No, we're not involved in that work directly, but I think that's a really important point, because if there are some reasons why this population has some kind of immunity, then that's something we could also probe through looking at what differences there may be in the blood of these animals.
Must be a gold mine of ideas for the chemical industry.
Absolutely. No, it's very, very exciting, and I think that that's what drives me, certainly, that I like seeing the big picture and what the end result might be and how these things can be used.
And looking at explosives, will you have anything to do with the security people at all, or do they just take the idea away and do mysterious things with it?
It's really important for us to understand what the end users need from our technology so that we're developing things with that in mind right from the start. So we have all those connections at the moment. We take advice certainly from those who'd be using this kind of equipment to make sure that they can really direct the way that we do our research.
Well, that was Dr. Emily Hilder, a future fellow in the Department of Chemistry at the University of Tasmania. Future fellow sounds mysterious.